Welcome to the fourth part of the series, The Encounter of Communism and Christianity in Europe. And today I speak about the life of a congregation in East Germany, and I want to start at first to take you on a little tourist tour through East Germany, because I think if you speak about the church, that is the same in English as well as in German. Church means two things, the congregation and the buildings. And as you know, in Germany the church has a very long tradition of a couple of thousand years almost. So I'm going to show some of the famous churches of East Germany, which are part of our culture, part of our inheritance, and part of the life of the church as well. I will speak about that later, what problems and what opportunities these churches give. This is the oldest church on East German land, on East German soil, the Stiftskirche in Gernrode from the 9th century. And we can look inside too. Looks like this. I'm not an architect and I'm not an art historian, so I cannot explain everything in this church, but just enjoy the old building. And once we had a choir tour and we sang in this church, and it was a tremendous experience just to hear the acoustics and to sing in this church. You can hardly imagine that if you haven't been in such a church before. Yeah, it's before the Gothic style, so it's the Roman architectural style. Maybe some of you know this church from pictures, maybe some of you even saw it in reality, that it's a church where all was started, all the things about the Lutherans. This is the Stadtkirche in Wittenberg, the church where Luther used to preach. And we can go inside too and see the pulpit, the original pulpit from where Luther gave his sermons to the congregation of Wittenberg. And people were, because there were no tape ministry in this time, people had to write down everything he said, and they did it quite well, as well as the tape ministry today. This is a view into the interior of the Stadtkirche in Wittenberg, and you see the altarpiece painted by Lukas Cranach. And this is a picture by Lukas Cranach, the baptism of Jesus. And that is one great wealth of the church in East Germany, that we have a lot of art in the churches, which still belong to the church. That is quite different from the Soviet Union, where everything was confiscated by the state and is now state property. The art of the church and the church buildings in East Germany belong to the church. That is the other church in Wittenberg, the Schlosskirche, the church where likely Luther put his 95 theses. I hope everybody who listens to the tape excuses this. I hope I didn't ruin my future as a theologian by that. And this is the door where people think he put his theses on. And today you have all the theses in bronze on this door. This is another famous church in East Germany, the St. Thomas Church in Leipzig. This is the church where Bach performed most of his cantatas and the Passions. And of course, that is the church from from behind, from the west. Of course, every church tower was in the east, and the altar was of course in the east of every church. That the light of the morning was on the side of the altar. And of course, there's a monument of Bach in front of the St. Thomas Church. And I don't know how it is in the United States with church musicians, but in Germany, church musicians are very poorly paid professionals. And that was in the time of Bach as well as it is today. So the artist put his pockets outside, the inside out. That means there's not much money in it left. I brought two pictures of Catholic churches. This is a Catholic church of Magdeburg, and this is a St. Hedwig's Cathedral in East Berlin, right on Unter den Linden. And if you ever come to Berlin, you probably should go over to East Berlin and walk Unter den Linden to see the beautiful art. But of course, the church has not only famous buildings. It is quite easy for the church to keep the famous building because you get some support by the state, because the state is interested to have a nice skyline and to have to show tourists the beauty of East German cities. But if you are a village pastor and you have a little village church like this one, no, that's not a little village church. I was too early. Then you have quite more difficulties to keep the building, to keep people who take care of the building, find construction workers, find the material, and it's a big struggle. But even if you have such a church, as a colleague of mine in Wismar, I show you this church later, then you have a lot of struggle, and it's sometimes very frustrating for pastors. Because if you have such a church, as beautiful as it is, you spend more than 50% of your daily work with keeping this building alive. And we as pastors are not educated to do that. Our main profession is a bit different, and for some of my colleagues it's very frustrating to deal with buildings. And I'm quite surprised that they didn't put me in a church which has a lot of effort for buildings, because I'm a construction worker, but I was lucky one to get a nice little church where I don't have to care about construction. This church we saw on the last picture, and this is the same church from inside, is a Doberaner Münster in Bad Doberan on the Baltic, and it's very typical for North German and Northern European architecture, Gothic, and the red bricks, which gloom very nicely in the sunset. They are wonderful buildings. And this church was, the renovation of this church was finished 2 years ago, and it's one of the most beautiful church buildings in East Germany. But now we come to the village church. No, not. That is painting, glass, no, how do you call that? Glass painting, stained glass in a church. And that was for a long time a big problem for churches, especially not on tourist spots, because children destroyed this windows by throwing stones or using little guns. I know that was one of the biggest frustrations for my father in the church where I grew up in Bad on the Baltic, and the police didn't care much about it. They didn't help the church to protect and to prevent these things. But sometimes, unfortunately not very often, you have some modern art in the church too. This is in a church of Wittenberg. The church is, for my taste a bit too conservative to bring modern art into church buildings. I don't know if that is the case in this country too, but I think art is one expression the church should should use for the thing we have to say. And now finally we reached the village church that is in a little village in Saxony. And you see that it is not that well kept as the churches in main cities. But even in main cities, even in Leipzig, you have churches who just going to die because there is no money, and it is very, very difficult and a hard business to take care of such a building. If anyone knows about a millionaire which has enough money to spend a couple of million dollars to rebuild my church, I would be glad to hear his name or her name. This is my church, a ruin in Wismar, and I mentioned before that I have mixed feelings about that. Sometimes I'm very angry and sad that such a nice building is not rebuilt after the war. Sometimes I'm happy that I don't have such a big church to take care of. You still have church ruins in East Germany. There was originally the plan to rebuild the church because it's such an important landmark in architecture, but the money was never there for rebuilding it, and so probably it will remain a ruin for the next century. The same thing happened to the other big cathedral in Wismar. That was the St. George Church, that is my church, and that is the St. Mary Church. It was destroyed in 1944 too, and they destroyed the whole building beside the steeple, beside the tower, and only the tower is left of the whole building. But we still have one big cathedral in Wismar, the St. Nicholas Church. You see here all the three churches, St. Nicholas, St. Mary, and St. George. And you may wonder why a city in the time when they built these churches of maybe 5,000 people needed these three big churches. And that was, of course, not for the use of the church only, but out of competition, because the main competitor of Wismar was Lübeck. And Lübeck had three big churches, therefore need Wismar, of course, three churches too. We don't need these big buildings, but of course we see it as a part of our cultural heritage, and therefore the church try to keep as many buildings as it can. But sometimes we are more happy with smaller churches. This is again a view on the St. Nicholas Church, but this little building you see from the tower of the St. Mary Church is now my church, the St. George Church, the new St. George Church. It was a gift by the Swedish Lutheran Church after the war, and it is much more convenient for the life of the congregation than these big cathedrals where you always feel lost. And that was one thing why they were constructed that big, because you should feel lost. And I think the message of the church is today a bit different, and you should feel at home in your church, and therefore I'm happy to have this little building. And we still use the old tower of the St. Mary Church because all our bells are on the tower, and when we ring the bells for the worship service, the sound comes from the old tower and the people come to the new church. This is the entrance. Unfortunately, even after the war, people were not very good in building modern churches, so it is still very traditional. It is a place to worship, but not more. It is not a communication center. And today we would need churches as you have it in the United States. I really admire that. And I wish I would have such churches I saw here, where people can live, where people can communicate, speak, discuss, and worship all at one place. And this is my parsonage. Looks not very nice from outside, but it's very nice from inside. And of course, my little car in front of the parsonage. So how looks the life of the congregation in East Germany? The main thing is and will ever be the worship service. And I'm happy that our worship services in my church are very well attended. So we have an average of around 100 people coming every Sunday, and that is quite good for the situation in East Germany and for the situation in Germany, if you compare it with, for example, the West German situation. Because the church is declining, the membership is declining, the percentage of people who are really active Christians is increasing. And that is a good thing for the life of the church in East Germany. People take much more part in the events of the church and in the worship service. And we try, as you see here, that we involve lay people more and more in the activities of the church. For example, we have the readers are always lay people, and the ushers and all that. For you, that is not a big deal, but for us, it was quite a process of learning to involve more and more lay people into the life of the congregation and into the worshiping on Sunday. Sometimes churches are really packed, especially during big events. That is a meeting of brass choirs in Mecklenburg, that is in the St. Nicholas Church. And sometimes we even need that big churches, and we have a hard time to give every person a seat who comes. And that, of course, are the bigger events of the church, like an installation of a bishop, or like a church rally, or sometimes we gather Christians from the whole local area, for example from whole Mecklenburg, and they meet in one special church and stay a Sunday together. And that is very important for the people, because one main experience of Christians today in East Germany is that we are a minority, especially for children. That is sometimes very hard, to belong to a minority. Most of them are the only Christian in their class, one. You are very lucky if you have a second person who belongs to the church. And so sometimes it's very important that we realize that we are not only one or two, but quite a crowd. The worship service is much more traditional than I experienced this here in the States, and there is an attempt to bring new forms into the life of into the worship life, but it's sometimes hard and sometimes very badly done, because I think liturgy needs a lot of effort to be real and to be lively. And sometimes I really have problems with modern liturgies, because they were just made from the moment, out of the moment, and that's not very good. But of course we wear the old robes, the talar, as we call it, the black with a collar. We even have in Mecklenburg the old collar, as you see it, of the one person right beside the altar. That is a really like a big wheel. And I'm allowed to wear that because I'm a pastor of a Hanse city. Hanse was a medieval trade organization, and churches, cities which belonged to the Hanse gave their pastors the opportunity to wear this special collar, but I don't do. One of the things I wish to bring from this country back to my country is a white robe. I really like that, and hopefully I will get one before I leave. Because sometimes it looks very conservative and old-fashioned and a bit stiff if you see all the black robes, and I have my problems wearing it. One very important part of the life of the church is the music, and that is not only because of the worship life, but that is a very important part of the mission work of the church. We have very limited possibilities to do mission work, but music is one possibility. So most city churches have a full-time church organist and choir leader. We don't have full-time secretaries, and that means a lot of paperwork for pastors. But we think that the church music is more important than having too much organization. And it is amazing how many people are reached by music and by church music. So this is a choir in Wismar. We have a very good, we are lucky to have a very, very good organist and choir director. We are a small city, but we sing every year a big concert. The last year was the Christmas Oratorio by Bach in our church, and that is quite an event in a little city. And that is part of a cultural contribution of the church towards society, which is really appreciated by people, even those who do not belong to the church. That is one of the of an a cappella concert of our choir in my church. And of course, brass is very important. Every larger church has a brass choir, and in smaller cities, that is sometimes the only musical education kids can get by the church musician and by the church choir. Of course, one thing in Germany, which is different from here, or at least a bit different, is that church festivals are very important. And Christmas is the big festival for the church. And people come to church, whether they belong or not, on Christmas you go to church. So we have quite a crowd in the church. We have, on Christmas Eve, we have to have 4 worship services for all the people who want to come. And it's quite exhausting to have 4 worship services, and it is one of the most difficult worship services you have in the whole year, because you really have to think what to tell the people who come, who have sometimes no idea what the church means, who only come because it feels so cozy to go to church on Christmas, and they like the candles and the music and so on. And then to put into words what may be important for them too, it's quite a task. And of course we have nativities, that's what kids really like to do, and they play for elderly people, and sometimes they are even allowed to go to hospitals. It's interesting that the church has some hospitals in East Germany and runs hospitals, which is quite different from other communist countries, and that is part of the tradition of diaconia in Germany. These hospitals were church hospitals before the war, and the state left it to the church to take care. And the state allows the church especially to take care of people where it is really difficult to take care of, for example, for mentally ill or for handicapped people, which needs a lot of idealism and which needs a lot of effort and humanity. These tasks are left to the church by the state. As I mentioned in series before, the ordinary members of our church are mainly older people. Over 50% of people in my church are over 50 years old, or over 60 years. I have not the exact figures. But that means that we have to put a special effort on taking care of these old people, and we do quite a lot. There's every month there's a special afternoon and evening for old people where we serve coffee and a program. And in some cities and villages, that's the only thing old people can do, because the whole state ideology is much more reach toward young people, and old people are not so important. I mean, one obvious example is that old people can go to the West. They don't care about old people, they can just leave for the West. I told about the efforts of building. You may imagine what it just costs to restore this I don't know how to call it in English, a ball or whatever it is, this sign on the tower of the church. The church spent a lot of money for restoring the buildings. And sometimes you will hear in state announcements that the state gives the church a lot of money for the work. And that is the true, and that is not the true in a way. Because this money is on the one hand spent for buildings that the state has an interest to keep, and when the church says we cannot keep this building without help, then the state may help. And the other thing is that the church owned a lot of land, and a lot of land was confiscated after the war, and the state pays a kind of rent for this land, but said, according to the law, the state wouldn't have to do it. So the state regards that as a grant to the church, and the church regards that as money which belongs to the church. So it's always a bit difficult, and you need a lot of insight to look behind the scene. Sometimes it's very difficult. This is a picture of our office building. We have a kind of office building in Wismar where we have, for example, these events for elderly people, or where we have catechism classes or confirmation classes. But that means that you have two buildings to take care of. You have the church and you have this office building. And you have, of course, the parsonages. So construction is really a big deal in the East German church, and nobody really likes to do it. Besides the work for elderly people, and in the latest development, the church puts a lot of effort to reach young families and workers, but one main effort is to work with young people, as I mentioned before in the series. There are youth groups all over the country, and there are special meetings for young people, and the church organizes these meetings. We spend a lot of time for programs for young people. We go on retreat quite often, because as you may imagine from what I told before, it is sometimes very important that you just go out somewhere to meet on a spot where you are left alone and where you can do what you want to do. And especially for young people who are mostly under control of somebody, it is important to have this space of freedom. I don't know whom I told the story of the do and the z. Don't know if this person is here. Yeah, this boy with the fair hair was the one I was speaking about. But I can tell the story here too, because it's important for understanding the life of the church, because the church still is very hierarchical and clergy-oriented. And it's very unusual to call your pastor by his or her Christian name, and in the German polite, in the German familiar form, do. We have who knows German knows that we have du and sie, which both means you. And all people of my youth group call me Michael and call me du. And that is not a lack of authority I have, but it is a kind of expression that they accept me as one of their own. And when the father of this boy with the fair hair realized that his son called his pastor, even a pastor with a PhD, by his Christian name, he got mad and said he should never do that again. And I needed quite a time to persuade the father and the son to call me Michael and do again. This is a retreat of the student congregation in Wismar. So we spent a weekend in a church in the countryside, or we do some construction work for a friend, for a colleague of mine, or we just go out somewhere and celebrate. And what is quite interesting here we help a bit in the garden. What is quite interesting that there is a new interest in religion and in liturgy, which I interpret as a longing for help to express feelings by old means. So we had last Easter a retreat where we had worship services every hour during the whole Easter night. And young people prepared these worship services, and I was a bit afraid if they would like, and they liked it very much, and they want to do it again, and they did it because they wrote me letters that they did it this year again. I mention that because when I was in the church youth group 10-15 years ago, there was a tendency to be more philosophical and more political. Now there is a tendency to do much more Bible studies, to deal with church history, to deal with theology, and to deal with worship and liturgy. That is quite a change in the life of church youth groups in East Germany. These are all pictures from several retreats we had. Here, that is a retreat in a church home for elderly people. And we did some construction work there, and we stayed there for a week. And that is a... We built this path, and that is a dedication of the path. Another very important thing for the church work in East Germany is that the church is an institution which has strong relation over the borders of East Germany. We have a partner congregation in West Germany, we have a partner congregation in Holland, and hopefully we will have soon a partner congregation in Czechoslovakia. And that is very important for people, that they have an opportunity to meet people, especially from the West. That is their only chance to see people, because some of you told me that they took a tourist tour through East Germany, and you know that these tourist tours are so organized that you have no contact with people. The church tries to bring people together to discuss their different viewpoints, to speak about problems we all have, and to speak about world problems. This is a meeting of the student congregation of Lübeck, West Germany, and Wismar, East Germany, in my own apartment in Wismar. Some of these people are from the East, some of from the West. It's interesting that since the late 70s, you cannot really say who's from the East and who's from the West. In the 60s, you always realized who was from the East, who was from the West. That has to do with the increasing of the living standard in the Eastern countries. But sometimes that brings conflict with the state, of course, too. I remember shortly before I left, there were three church groups in different churches of Wismar, one from Holland, one from West Germany, from Lübeck, and one from Bavaria. And the dean of Wismar had to go to a state office, and they said, well, we know you have relations to the West, and we don't really mind that, but not more than 50 people at once. So the state sometimes have problems when it is too much, and then they try to interfere a bit and to stop it a bit. This is again in my apartment in Wismar at this meeting of East and West Germans. And sometimes we even organize vacations together in other communist countries. This is a vacation of students from East Berlin and from Göttingen in Romania. And these things are possible and not possible. It's always the question, if you try to keep the rules, if you know how to do it, that it works. It's, of course, a very sensitive sector of the work of the church. Another thing where I have special interest is theater. And that is a good way to bring things to people in a very different way. So my youth group put two plays on stage, and that is a very sensitive problem too, because of course that is not exactly religious work, and that is not exactly worship service. Of course, we cannot go to a theater to produce a play, but we have to do it in churches. But it's always a question how the state reacts on that. It could interfere, and sometimes it accepts it. This play was accepted, even though I played a policeman in this play, and you may imagine that I put all my experiences with policemen in East Germany in this role, and the crowd was quite excited about it. It doesn't accept some slides. And what was another thing in the play was that we put a demonstration in it, and that was a sign, because demonstrations are not allowed in East Germany. So, of course, we couldn't go on the streets. That would be committing suicide, in a way. But at least we put a demonstration in the church, and that was a sign for the people that these things are very important. Oh, it's backwards, unfortunately. It was a play about time and how you can use and misuse time in your life. That was the other play we did. Some of you may be familiar with the story of the Little Prince by Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. And I used this book writing a play about the Little Prince in Leipzig. So what you see behind is a silhouette of Leipzig. There's a St. Thomas Church, and the whole story actually plays in Leipzig and is related to the problems the people have in East Germany. Sometimes, and people ask me already after that, sometimes we are even allowed to have big church rallies. It's not very often, but it's amazing how it increased in the last 5 years. This was a church rally in Rostock, East Germany, in the Luther year. And as you see, there was quite a crowd there. And as I mentioned before, in the Dresden rally, there came over 100,000 people. And of course, that is a problem for the state. And there are discussion inside the government if the state should allow that or not, and there are more liberal people who say, for whatever reasons, that the church should have a bit more freedom to do what it wants to do, and some more hardliners who try to interfere and to stop it. And it's, and you never can predict which side of the power balance will win. So maybe in 2 years they will stop everything. That's unpredictable. But of course the church is happy if we have the opportunity. That's backwards too. And we try to use these opportunities as good as we can. Sometimes, as I said before, we are not very good in using all the opportunities we have. And of course, the ecumene is important for the church in East Germany. The ecumene inside East Germany, the relations to the Roman Catholic Church, is sometimes a bit difficult because it's a very small church, and small churches tend to keep their own identity and are not so open in relations. And larger churches tend to oversee smaller churches. But we try to do something. But what is as well important is the context to the ecumene in the world. And it is quite an event when people come and visit our churches, especially because people cannot leave East Germany, or most people cannot leave East Germany. Therefore, it is so important that people visit us. I mentioned that church advertisement is forbidden, but in the Luther year we were allowed to put church posters on public announcement boards, Litfaßsäulen as we call it. That was quite a unique situation. And after 78 there was a big, in March 78 there was a meeting between the president of East Germany and the presiding bishop. And they find a kind of agreement, and the church granted some possibilities after this. The possibility of having a television program, it's in a on a bad time, in a program which cannot be broadcasted everywhere, and not many people watch it because it's on Saturday afternoon, on early Saturday afternoon, where most people spend time with the family and go out and so on. But at least we have the possibility to make television programs. We have the possibility to have a worship service in radio very early in the morning at 7 o'clock, but we have the possibility, and for a lot of people that means a lot. People who cannot come to the church because they are old or handicapped. We have the possibilities to have some worship services in state hospitals. The first sermon I preached in Wismar in my church was in a state hospital, and behind me the big brother was watching me, a big picture of Erich Honecker, and that felt very strange to have a worship service with a picture of Erich Honecker behind me. But he smiled mildly on my sermon and didn't interfere, so it was okay. But all these possibilities arose in the last years, and I think they are signs of hope that that the church will find a way and a task in the society of East Germany. This is a church, a smaller church rally in Wismar, and the state provided from the army the food possibilities, yeah, which was quite a help for us. No, it is just a church meeting and program. I can speak later a bit about money, how the church gets money. Unfortunately, that is backwards too. That is Karl Marx University Department of Theology. I think that's quite a funny sign, and I'm in a way proud that I got my PhD in theology from the Karl Marx University in Leipzig, which is quite unique in this world, I think. A bit about a theological education and the education for the ministry. As I mentioned before, we have 6 state universities, and at every state university there is a department of theology, and that is part of the old academic tradition where church and state were not separated. So till today, 50% of the clergy is educated by the state. The professors are paid by the state, the students get their stipend by the state, and they don't have to pay for attending a university as all students in East Germany. So that is quite a unique situation, and sometimes a bit difficult for the church. There is a special examination of every candidate who comes from a state university, if he or she fits into the church, because the church has no control over the program at the universities. But with differences at the different universities, I can say that most universities try to do exactly the same what is done at the church seminaries. And that is the second. The other 50% of the clergy comes, I speak a bit later about this picture, comes from church seminaries. We have 3 church seminaries. The biggest is in Leipzig, where I graduated from, the Lutheran Seminary of Leipzig. There is the Sprachenkonvikt of Berlin. It means language school. It's a funny name, but that's very typical for East German situation. This institution existed before the war, so the church was allowed to keep this institution. But we cannot change the name, because if we would change the name, it would be a new institution, and we would need a special permit by the state to establish a new institution, and the state would not allow that. So it still has a funny name, language school, despite it is a theological seminary. That looks very superficial, and stupid. I mean, everybody knows that it is a theological seminary, but that's the way things work in East Germany. You have to keep the rules. This is the Emil Fuchs Straße. Emil Fuchs was a theologian, and they named a street after him. But it's quite interesting that it didn't went so far that they mentioned that he was a theologian, so they find a compromise and called him a humanist and a fighter for peace. That is a state bookstore. And if you look at the title of the books, the young Martin Luther, the Bible, knowledge of dogmatics, and so on, you may be surprised. You can buy Bibles in state bookstores. And the state allows publication of theological books in East Germany. That is unique too in the Eastern world. And we are much better, our situation is much better than the situation of Christians, for example, in the Soviet Union. That is a big help for us. But of course it's sometimes very difficult to publish, and we have only limited access to paper. Paper is a big problem in East Germany, and if I see all the waste of paper here in this country, I could cry, because we would need so badly paper to publish our books, and the state only gives us a certain amount of paper, so we have to decide which books are important for the life of the church, which are not. And of course there is a kind of censorship too, so if I would write a book about the United States and my experience here, a diary or something like that, I don't think that would be published in East Germany. This is again this bookstore with a poster of Johann Sebastian Bach in the background. And another possibility which opened in the last years is that very slowly and very carefully there began an exchange program. And this exchange program brought me here to the United States. This is Professor Dr. Baumann from Columbus, Ohio, visiting and teaching at the Lutheran Seminary in Leipzig, East Germany. The guy who just leaves the bus. And by the way, he's a strong friend of Holden Village and has been several times here in Holden Village. He was the one who brought me here. That is a very sensitive sector too, but at least we started something, and we even brought some students into East Germany, which is even more difficult than bringing somebody out, because it is such a, it makes such a difference if there is an American who lives for 1 year with the people of East Germany. This is Mark Menacher from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and he lived for 1 year in East Germany and studied theology there. These are some professors of the Lutheran Seminary in Leipzig, and I spoke about that a bit in private conversation I had with some of you. Sometimes it's very, the situation of the seminary, seminaries is very difficult because we live in a kind of an ivory tower, and we have a kind of what we call in German fool's freedom, or the freedom of a fool. Nobody cares much about what we are doing in these seminaries, and that means we lose very quickly contact to the need of the people. That is a big danger of seminaries, and that is a big danger of churches when they tend to ghettoize themselves. That was one reason why I decided to go into the ministry after teaching for a while at a seminary, because I felt that I need the contact to the people. These are pictures from the seminary and from seminars and professors and excursions. One reason why I am here is that the East German Church feels very strongly that we have to change a bit our theological education. It is very academic and it's very intellectual. We educate 10% very good theologians and 90% bad pastors. And that is not very good for the life of the church. So one thing I had to learn here, and I learned here, is how to emphasize more practical, the practical life of the church in education. And I learned a lot about that here. Of course, we have big parties too. Studying theology is not only academic work, but fun. And there are quite a number of people who do not want to go into the ministry, but who just study theology to spend 5 years in academic freedom. Studying theology at a church seminary is the only place in East Germany where you have really academic freedom, where you are not restricted in thinking, where you are not restricted in your program. And that's a bit different at seminaries here, because seminaries here are more schools than universities, I think. Again, some students of the seminary. Some succeed, some do not succeed. That is the same as in the United States or everywhere in the world. One with a strange large beard is now a church custodian. And the other one, these are pictures from my class where I with whom I studied, and the other one is now working on his PhD in East Berlin. And this is kind of interesting, these three people, because they come from from very different backgrounds, and that is very characteristic for education and for the difficulties you have in theological education. The boy from the left is a typical pastor's kid. Grew up in a Christian family, knows everything about Christian faith, and maybe goes to a church private school and then goes to a seminary and never leaves the church. The guy in the middle comes from a worker's family and didn't grow up in a Christian family. So he sometimes has even problems to know the catechism or the Bible text. And I mean, if you're in the academic education and you have to translate the Bible, of course it's a big advantage if you know the Bible in German. So if you translate the Greek text and you have the German in your mind, then it's easier to translate. So there are a lot of different standards, and that is very difficult to construct a program. The guy on the right was very political and philosophical oriented. He wasn't too much interested in theology and much more in philosophy. And he very soon got in conflict with the state and spent 2 years in prison in East Germany and then was expelled and is now living in West Berlin. All three started studying with me. I could tell much more about the life of the church. Fortunately, I cannot see my watch, so I don't know how late it is. But I think one important task of the church is to be a kind of light in society and light in the world. That is what we are called to. And therefore, as the last pictures I showed, people who carry lights, which is quite a big deal in East Germany, because that is regarded, if you do it publicly, as an anti-state demonstration, just to light a candle, a small candle. And some friends of mine got arrested for just doing that. And therefore it was a very big event in Wismar when we decided as a congregation to do publicly a candle procession without saying anything, just candle procession. And we put a big cross made of candles in front of our church. And this picture is very important for me because this picture shows me that the church has a task in East Germany and that the church always will be in East Germany because every society needs people who are the light of the world. And that's the end of the slides. Now we get light and I look at my watch and I probably, I thought about that. It's very late. I'm sorry. I talked too much again. Yeah, the question was about women. Unfortunately, we don't have a female bishop. I would really like to present you a female bishop. We don't have. Ms. Jung, we almost got one, but then finally the man won the election. But at the seminaries, there are almost 50% of the students female. And it is more and more normal that you have a female pastor in the churches. There are still some congregations which have problems with that, but it's more and more accepted. And it is a question of surviving. We have an enormous lack of pastors. We couldn't do without women, and that pushed the male chauvinism a bit into the right direction, I think. Any other questions? I promise to speak a bit about money. We don't have church taxes, so every money the church gets is church collected by the church. That is very similar to the situation of churches in the United States, but we do it a bit differently. We suggest people to pay a certain amount which comes from the tax, church tax tradition. So we say, when you earn this much money, you should give the church that much money. And people are willing to do that. The tendency now is that we get more money from less people.